Today, I am very excited to welcome Tanya Slater, aka the girl who simplified, along to the show. Welcome, Tanya. How are you today?
I'm really good. Thank you, Helen. I'm very excited. Thanks for this.
Oh, no, it's great. I'm really looking forward to talking to you. So the name, the title of the talk today is Decluttering for the Mind, Body and Soul. And you're a decluttering queen, aren't you? And you've made some huge changes in your life through simplifying. So do you want to tell us a little bit? Let's start with your journey and your background. So how did you get to where you are today?
Yeah, okay, fantastic. I always do tend to share most of my journey, like, you know, the real struggles as well, because it's all kind of related to the absolute benefits of, you know, the journey that I went through with the decluttering. So just kind of going back a few years, I was bullied at school and lost a lot of my self-confidence. I was then targeted and groomed for a few years and then sexually abused. And I basically identified for the first kind of 20 years of my adult life, really, as a victim of all of that. And I certainly had no spiritual awareness and no guidance, knew nothing of personal development back then. And I generally would sum up that part of my life as a car crash, to say the least. And I, at the age of 30, I had my eldest boy in Australia. And then we came back to the UK. And it was like, as I'm sure many parents would understand, it was kind of like it gave me that focus that I was, you know, I was quite a lost soul, really, bumbling around and avoiding things and very traumatized and dealing with all of that. And there was this little bundle of joy that just completely sort of got my focus. And so things were okay for a little bit. Obviously, he was my world. Then a couple of years later, I had my youngest down here in Somerset where I live. Yeah. And at the time, I was in a very challenging relationship with their father, and my mental health just kind of deteriorated. Mm-hmm. And when my youngest was about 8 or 9 months old, we decided to part company. So I found myself on my own with a baby and a toddler. And obviously all of this undealt trauma and everything, I hadn't kind of dealt with that, and the pressures to be the best mum I could be and be everything I could be for them. It really, my mental health very rapidly deteriorated. And I did reach the darkest point that I've ever been, that I wouldn't wish upon anybody, and considered for a few months that my children would be better off without me, because I just didn't have life sorted. I was really, really struggling, hiding behind closed doors, became quite a recluse. And thankfully, that's not how my story ended. And a short while after that, somebody reached out to me with an idea and an opportunity, and I got introduced to the world of personal development through that. And it was like, I don't know, you know, humans need hope. And when we have hope, then there's, you know, you can see some way kind of out. And I think that's what I'd been missing, because I didn't know and wasn't surrounded by people like I am now that knew about working on your mind and, you know, your life, and that not, your past doesn't define you. You know, I've learned all of this stuff. Yeah. So that was the beginning of kind of sorting things out a little bit. But at the time that I was going through the breakup with the boy's father, I was also having weekly counseling sessions. And I always share this bit because it's really, it sticks in my mind that I remember going to one particular session towards the end, and I actually felt a lot brighter than I had done, and they weren't like the weekly hourly cry and get it all out kind of thing. Yeah. And the counselor commented, and she asked what I'd been doing, and we talked about the fact that I had been sorting my home out, and she said it sounds like you've been clearing old energy. And that sentence just really, really stuck with me. And so I went home and I pondered on it and thought, you know, you're right. The things that I've been getting rid of are things to do with that relationship, are things to do with when I was really struggling, and I'm now trying to create something new. And what I realized was that I was trying to make space for something new. Yeah. And that it's important to make that space. So I probably spent about 2 or 3 years quite obsessed with this decluttering and clearing out, because the more I got rid of, the better I felt. Yeah. And I share now also that obviously I went through counseling, I had tried different types of therapies, both physical and talking, spent hundreds if not thousands of pounds over the years, but nothing had been as effective and positively impacted my life as this simple act of clearing, of just kind of, you know, getting things out. And so I then got a little bit addicted to it, did a bit of research, came across the minimalists and looked at their kind of, they're sort of quite extreme, but I was just looking at all the different things and the theories behind it. And just completely simplified. And on that personal development journey alongside, I came across the coaching tool, the Wheel of Life, where the circle kind of splitting your life up into those eight kind of main headings.
Yeah.
And the little curious girl inside of me thought, wow, I can't believe it. If actually the simple act of clearing out the physical objects in my home could be so impactful, you know, like broken chipped mugs and holy knickers and bras and just getting rid of all of that, that can have such an impact. I wonder how much further I could take this. So I then spent the next few years basically going around the Wheel of Life, meticulously removing everything that I felt wasn't serving me, that was getting in my way. You know, you kind of score yourself from 0 to 10. Yeah. And then I had a coach use this with me, but their way of doing things with this life coach was to see what I needed to add into my life. And I look at that coaching tool as in, I think we all have too much stuff. There's so many messages coming at us. There's so many solutions to our pain points and all of this. And we grab them for the benefits. But then when we buy them or, you know, sign up. I know we were talking about the fact that, we're going to all sign up to things and then not do the actual work and things like that. What we're actually doing and what I had done searching for all of these solutions was I had cluttered up my life even more, because then I had the emotions that went with that of the guilt of spending the money and not doing it and not feeling good enough because I hadn't actually got those results that it seemed like everyone else in the world did, and all of those things. So I've basically been on a decade long decluttering and mindful clearing journey, and it's just, I have transformed my human experience exponentially to go from that really dark place to now the most positive I've ever known myself, the healthiest. I wouldn't say my health is 100%, but it's certainly the healthiest it's ever been. And kind of, I've got myself back to being like I was when that, before that little girl was bullied, where I just had this unconditional confidence that I could achieve. I could learn to walk, talk, breathe, eat, you know, there was no question. And it's a really exciting place to be. And because of where I've been, every morning I wake up and I'm so grateful that I'm here. And that the whole girl who simplified thing came is that within this, I managed to connect with my intuition, which I remember buying a course with a coach that was all about connecting with your intuition. And the first call with her was like, I don't really think I've got intuition. And she laughed and she said, everybody's got intuition. It's just too noisy. And that kind of resonated as well. So I've learned that you don't have to do anything to turn up the volume on your intuition. You just have to turn down the volume on all the other crap that's outside, so you can hear it.
Absolutely. Because we, you know, everyone has intuition. Everyone has the ability, but we clog ourselves up with filling our basket up with, like you say, courses, subscribing to more newsletters. You know, that, I mean, that's just in the digital world. Of course, we buy things and we keep things in our house and we hold on to things. A couple of weeks ago, I had a huge declutter of my living room. So my daughter loves crafting. She loves art. Absolutely amazing. Most creative genius. But the amount of stuff is out of control. Yeah. And I had to clear out my lounge because I was having a photo shoot. And there was no way I could have pictures taken with all this clutter in the background. And the difference I felt the next day, to be able to come down in the morning and actually have space to breathe, and I just felt uplifted. So I can definitely resonate with the with how it can make you feel. I just need to sort the rest of my house now. But you said you started with your physical items, and then you moved around the wheel of life coaching. So tell us a little bit more, what else was on that wheel for you?
So the sorts of things that are on there, we've got friends and family, which was a massive one. And I had recognized through that personal development journey, I was introduced to a community and I saw and experienced the power of surrounding yourself by people that are all on a mission, that they talk about dreams and aspirations rather than other people, and that people can be either drains or radiators, and that it's really important to surround yourself with those people. And I initially went for that section and I found it incredibly challenging, you know, to step back from people that you might have known for a very long time or have history with. So I kind of moved on to a few others, but I'm not ready for that yet. Maybe I need to practice a bit. Finances. I ended up going through my finances with a fine-tooth comb. It's unbelievable how many £2, £3, £5, £10 little monthly things from your iPhone, you know, that you've forgotten about and you're not using, and subscriptions and things. And really kind of everything was in with intention. It was like I'd managed to get in contact and connect with my kind of why, what I wanted to do, that I wanted to serve and help people, but wasn't sure at that time how. I just knew that there were certain things in there I was committed to or paying for that were from my past. So I got rid of those. What else do we have on there? My health. So I looked at my health. I was introduced to the idea that, you know, our health isn't just our diet, what we consume as in food and drink. It's also about what we consume and the media, what we read, what we look at, what we listen to. So again, I went through all of that and I basically used the same idea of removing the excess. What's excess and what's not serving me? And so I had a long, hard look at my bottles of wine that I would drink and chocolate and things like that. And it's not, I did go through a period where I didn't drink at all, but I realized that it was slightly out of balance for me. So now we've got a bit of balance, but it was just looking at
moderation.
Yeah, absolutely. But one of the things that really hit me when going through the health and everything was that I did have some health complaints and I had had some mental health troubles. And it was the journey and the process really gets you to kind of go, okay, if I remove all the excess, what's left? And I have some students that sometimes say to me, like, I'm a bit worried because once I've cleared out all of this clutter and I've got rid of all my reasons slash excuses for not maybe achieving, what I'm left with is me. And that's a bit scary. And so over the years, I have had to really look in the mirror and have some long, hard, raw conversations with myself. And one of those was like, okay, so you've had mental health problems, you've had depression. To be honest, let's look at what you're putting in your body. Come on, Tanya, what do you expect? You know, so it was kind of like going through a process and committing to saying, well, if I want those things to improve because I've got my goal and my mission in life, then I've got to do something about this. And then eventually I did come back round to the people, friends and family, and I've practice. I always see it like it's kind of flexing a muscle, making these decisions of what's important to you now and what's not, what's serving you, what's not, what can go, what can stay. And then over about 2 or 3 years, I quietly, respectfully stepped back from those people that were no longer serving me in my life. And I came to terms with that and was able to let things go. And then also because along this journey, which is why it was so exciting to get an invite to chat with yourself, I became more in touch with my spiritual side. And I'm not religious, but I do believe in the universe. I have regular daily chats with the universe. I believe in bigger energies. And it was that thing that I stopped living in my head and started living more in my body. And so when I was making these decisions about people in particular, I was just feeling my way through it and thinking, you know, if I quietly step back, they actually don't really need to know too much about this. It's easy. You can do it digitally, very privately. Don't recommend, you know, I often see people going, right, I'm having a cull and well done if you make the cut kind of thing.
No, I hate that.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was, and it's this whole idea of making space for new. So obviously there was people in my life that I was giving time to. And I talk about time so much because it's our most precious resource. None of us know how much we've got. And yet so many of us feel really time poor. But if you are willing and ready and able to look in the mirror and look at all the areas of your life and where you're investing your time or just giving it away freely, yet you feel time poor, you're able to kind of claw back the time and go, actually, I'd rather put it here, or I'd rather put my energy here. So yeah, it's been a long journey, but a well worthwhile and beautiful now that I went through a period where I had to come to terms with the fact that I might be a bit lonely. removing all these people, it actually turns out I wasn't surrounded by a lot of very good uplifting people at all. There was like a couple, but by removing all of those, I was kind of like, okay, so I just need to trust in the universe and trust my inner guide that I've made the space. I'm now going to focus on what it is that I want to create, and those people will come because I'm starting more. I learned that I'm starting to be openly and authentically me. I'm not trying to be anybody for anybody, if you know what I mean. So,
Wow. What an incredible journey. And you are absolutely glowing. This is your purpose. This is your thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, that's what I found, was that I knew I wanted to serve and I knew I wanted to help. And I also knew that there would come a day where I'd healed from my pains, and that I had watched people and I was looking at lots of incredible coaches and speakers now in this personal development world, and thought they're all there because they've learned through their journeys, through their pains, how to deal with those. And so they want to help, you know, heal others. And I still wasn't quite sure what I did. I became a massage therapist for a while. I enjoyed it, but it was incredibly draining. I've learned spiritually that I absorb a lot of negative energy, and so being a massage therapist did not work for my health at all.
I can imagine. If you're very very empathic, then yes,
absolutely. And then I just sat there one day and just thought, what have I done? Like, I looked at those therapies that I talked about, thought, no, they didn't really do it, you know, essentially for me. It was the clearing. And I thought, well, I can show other people this. This isn't rocket science. And I think then that was the fire. I had a little pilot light inside me, and often talk about this, that I think so many people have their kind of purpose and their desires. It's like the pilot light on the boiler in the bathroom, and it's just flickering away. Yeah. And when you uncover it and give it space to fire up, it then you ignite it. And that's what happened in me. And I just thought, okay, well, I haven't got a coaching qualification and I haven't kind of gone down the life coaching thing, but I can show people what I did. And so that's how it kind of came about. And it's grown and grown in different clubs and coaching and stuff, just introducing people. Sometimes they think it's, we don't even necessarily need the help. It's just the awareness. Generally, just an ounce of awareness of something can be enough to make you put something away rather than leave it out, or be enough to just make you think, do I really need that thing? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. I mean, we live in a world where, you know, we're encouraged to buy things all the time, to sign up for things, and to be busy all the time, filling up every moment of our lives and every nook and cranny in our houses as well. And I can see how that leads to mental health problems, because we're just overwhelmed then. I know that I think it isn't there something to do with the brain absorbing too much information, which can give you overwhelm. So just by having surroundings which are full of stuff can leave you completely overwhelmed. It can take away your creativity, can leave you fatigued. And it's just, it's not a great space to be in. So I just want to rewind, actually. You mentioned decluttering and mindful clearing. So what's the difference between the two?
Yeah, I mean, there's no kind of hard and fast. This is my opinion and my take on it. And also from the experience that I've had now over the last year, helping families go through their homes. And decluttering is kind of like a very well-known term. If you search, you know, the hashtags and stuff, there's groups around there with hundreds of thousands of people. So people relate to that. And it is the clutter. It's like, what's cluttering up your space and what's stopping there being clear spaces? And oftentimes, in fact, most times people come to me, they're always saying, I declutter all the time. I have clear outs all the time, but it's like this perpetual cycle. It just comes back again, and it's really frustrating. And what I've learned now is that there's mindful clearing is really looking at that stuff, and instead of putting it away, so you're making space, you know, and making it just a bit tidier. And like you said, with your living room, that made you feel better. But there's no kind of theory or baseline sort of foundation to that to stop it coming back in. And the mindful clearing is more looking at the rooms that you've got in your home, looking at your home as a whole, looking at your goals for life and everything, and then actually associating all of your items with those three kind of main things, and then mindfully deciding, does it support the purpose of my goals or my home or this room? What do I want this room to actually do? Who needs to use it? How do they want to use it, depending on, you know, who you share the home with? And then really mindfully clearing out and doing that. And it's in doing that kind of prep work and really getting emotionally connected. I love the phrase, finding the why that makes you cry. And we do some work about digging down really deep from the surface level until you answer a question where you feel some kind of emotion sort of comes up, and it might be tears, it might be a shiver, it might be hairs on the back of your neck. And then it's like, there, somewhere in there is your values. And then when you're connected with that, it's a lot easier to go around your home and actually clear out the excess. Yeah. And also because, excuse me, we were talking about energy, and one of the things that I've understood, and even now, like I often say to people when I'm talking on a call and on a Zoom, I'm like, if you looked around or I could see something in your screen, I'd be like, tell me about that. Any item that you can see in your eye line right now, you would be able to tell me where it came from, how much you've spent on it, or who gave it to you, or who you inherited it from. Every single item is loaded with stories, which are energy. And so that thing about being overwhelmed when you've got all of this stuff, we don't realize how much is kind of going on in the background in our head. It's not just the fact of, oh, I need to tidy up, or, oh, I need to sort that cupboard out because it's brimming. What's in there? What's in that drawer? Who's it connected to? And it's all to do with our past and these stories. So by mindfully clearing and saying, well, that was my past, this is my today, and I want to work towards that, what things then can stay and go? Going through that process, you can actually start to let go of old stories about yourself, you know, old things. It's an emotional journey because we can come across loves and losses, big decisions. I take people on a particular route that I've learned now is kind of like, start with the low-hanging fruit in the entranceway, and then we go room by room. But I always say, and I've learned this year, leave the office till the last, because anything that has created a piece of paperwork has probably been a big decision. Could have been a house purchase, insurance purchases, cars, marriages, deaths, all of those things. And actually to clear things like paperwork and set up an office with intention that you can work in and focus and not be distracted, that's a huge emotional journey. But the beauty of it is that in its essence, in its simplicity, all we're doing is clearing out physical objects and we're making space. But what goes on in your brain in making those decisions, it's magical. Like, yeah, it's just fascinating. And to start with,
we attach to things, don't we? And that's what it's the stories behind it. So we might have been given something 15 years ago that we're holding on to, but it's not the actual thing, is it? It's letting go of the memories. And,
yeah. Absolutely. I think we all live with a fear of loss. That maybe if we let go of something, we'll lose a memory connected to somebody. So we can, you know, there's ways to work through all of that as well. But just, you know, if anyone's kind of thinking, oh, I want to do a bit of clearing out stuff, I always say leave that stuff till last. Like, practice with the easy stuff.
Yes.
First, yes. You know? And it is like, just, I'm sure within the brain, I don't really know too much about NLP, but in a similar way, it's reprogramming the brain. Yeah. And actually just stopping living on autopilot, pressing that pause button for a few seconds and going, what do I need? How can this home support me? What do I need and don't need? Because we're so busy, you know, and we collect stuff from when we're children, some stuff we hold on from our family. Then we've got things when we left school, like signed shirts and little books and things. Yeah. Then there's career, maybe travel. I collected loads of stuff from traveling over that 20 years. I was kind of a bit lost and running away. Then, you know, marriages, kids. Oh my goodness, how much stuff do they bring? Like you were saying about the craft stuff and things like that.
Yes.
And it just comes on, and we talk about I always talk about cycles. You are well into cycles. I know we just had the most beautiful pink moon last night. Yeah. And everything in life, everything on this planet is cyclic. We're cyclic beings, and everything else and every other species and plants and trees, they all seem to know that you have to shed and make space for new beginnings. But as humans, what is it with us? We cannot do the shedding. We just can't let go.
We need to let go.
No, and it's, you know, it's a global thing, but by going through you eventually and connecting with things like your why, and that you start to realize why you don't want to let go, or things that maybe sometimes it's how, especially with kind of my generation, I'm 40, and my parents certainly, and I think before then it was very much, they didn't necessarily have much money, and you made do and mend, and you made sure, you know, so they held on to lots of stuff, so you always had the right tool, the right cooking implement, the right this and that, but I don't think they consumed as much back then as we do now. So we've kept that story that we need to not be wasteful, but we're also, you know, having all these messages sent to us and consuming in that way too.
Yes, yeah, that just that when you were talking about the past generations, that just made me think about my dad. Bless him, love him to bits, but yeah, he is a hoarder and a half. And I've taken on part some of that actually, especially because he loves to keep magazines. Mm-hmm. And I'm exactly the same. I've got piles and piles of magazines everywhere, and I cannot let them go.
I don't know what to do with them. Like but... rubbing my hands going, oh, Helen, let's have a chat.
Yes, yeah, that's so interesting. So why do people find it so hard to... actually, we just went into that, sorry, about the emotions. I was just thinking about people who hoard, and it gets into a real problem, can't it? You know, we've seen the television programs with like the hoarders next door, and do you watch things like that? Does that
I don't really watch telly anymore, but I have seen some of them, and I've seen some sites on my course actually.
I was gonna ask if there was anything, I'm sure you probably can't share, but was there anything particular that springs to mind?
I have had, interestingly, that a few ladies have come. It always seems to be women, which is an interesting and very passionate topic of mine, that one of the things I want to try and help change the landscape of is that the home is not just the woman's responsibility. And so we work on bringing the family in and getting them all to, you know, take responsibility and understand what we need to do in the home. But I've had a couple of ladies come on who are like, so I'm ready for this, Tanya, right? But my husband, he's a hoarder, and he's like, well, you do what you want, love, but I'm not getting rid of my stuff, kind of thing. And actually there was one lady that sticks in mind in particular, just a few weeks into the course, I think about week 4 or 5, she came back and said that the rooms that she had created and the family had kind of got involved in, they were all enjoying the space so much that her husband did comment, he's like, wow, you're onto something here. And so by the end of the course, he had actually decided to rent a small lockup, because his hoarding was a passion in some respects, that he would buy things and do them up and then sell them or pass them on and stuff. Wasn't necessarily a business, but that was kind of what he did.
Yeah.
But he understood that their home was going to support them much better if it was a sanctuary and it was clear and the spare bedroom could actually be a spare bedroom, not a lockup. And so yeah, it's beautiful to see the kind of ripple effect. But I always say, and because I went down the route of looking into minimalism, and that can be very extreme, and then hoarding is the other extreme, that none of this is about getting rid of everything. It's about, if you feel overwhelmed or exhausted or time poor, or you're lacking clarity or confidence on what you're doing, that it's a really good place to start, and that the home really should be somewhere that you can breathe easy, that everyone from babies to grandparents can just be. They don't need to put a face on. They can, you know, just rest and rejuvenate and heal and enjoy that company and feel supported. And oftentimes, because we are so overconsumed, it is in looking at, you know, our possessions. And though another reason why I say about not necessarily going for the jugular and going for all that emotional, sentimental stuff, is because one of two things happens when we get to that stuff. Either they've exercised their clearing muscle that much and got so clear, so much clarity on what they want and where they would rather put their time, that they don't know how long they've got, that they feel okay about letting go of those things. And that's all, you know, it's a process. Yeah. Or they've created enough space because they've got rid of all the stuff that really wasn't sentimental, that they now have space and can find homes to really enjoy those sentimental things. We've had people making pieces of artwork. We've had people getting rid of IKEA coffee tables and pulling out beautiful walnut tables out the loft because it was their grandma's, and actually they'd rather enjoy it. So just again, that's the mindful side of it, and setting with intention. So, but yeah, even on the hoarding side of things, it's but it's got to be somebody's, often people will say like they're not going to get on board, or teenagers have slammed the door and put a sign on the side saying you're not coming in kind of thing. So we do have to lead the way, but as soon as you create even just one room that really feels like the energy can flow, you know, we talk about that, and clear spaces do it for most people if their heads are feeling cluttered. And it's then the rest of the family, no matter whether they're a hoarder or not, getting to experience the benefits of it, and even seeing the person who's created it going, oh, I feel a bit lighter, I feel a bit happier. So then it has that knock-on effect to the family. So it's quite an experiential learning. You have to kind of do it to understand and feel it, sort of
thing. Yeah, and of course, like you say, talking about energy, it's clearing out that old energy, get rid of all the old stuff. And then that allows in new opportunities, new creativity, and just gives you that headspace to really feel more grounded and relaxed. So it's incredible. So Tania, how you talked about your course, tell us more about your course, and you have a club as well, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Thank you. So, the course was born out of lockdown because prior to lockdown and the first bit of COVID kind of coming, I was going literally in my car with loads of empty plastic boxes in my boot to people's houses and actually helping them physically clear and chatting and coaching as we went. But obviously that kind of stopped. So tongue in cheek, one night in March last year, I thought, oh, I wonder if I could lead people over Zoom and do like a group thing. And I put an invite out to a few of my followers, and within 24 hours the course was full. I was like, oh, I've got to write this
now. I've got something here.
So for the first couple of courses I absolutely winged it, but people got incredible results. And so over the last year I've taken about 40 families now through the process, and we go week by week, item by item, through your entire home and clear out. And we have weekly Zoom calls, the accountability calls. I think it's the accountability and knowing you're not doing it on your own, I think it is massive. And so it's my opportunity to make sure nobody's run for the hills and grab them back if they have, but for people to share. And it's a space where, you know, if things come up from past emotions, or if you can bring it to the table and we have a chat. So we go on that journey and that process, and it's such a magical thing. I've got that running at the moment, but I also learned this year that not everybody has the time or inclination to do the weekly Zoom course. So I actually recorded it as a digital course as well, so people can just log on and do the modules and go through it in their own time. So that's the Home Clearing Club. And then I've also got the Life Clearing Club, which is a membership, which is in its kind of new stages, but we have some incredible women in there. And we basically, so these two things kind of emanate what I did in my life. The Home Clearing Club is where I started, that's how what I did and my experience. And then the Life Clearing Club, we have the Wheel of Life in there, and every first of the month we look at everyone's wheel, we score, we look at what we can clear out for the month, make an intention, set a goal. And then I've also got lots of different coaches and teachers and stuff that can help us replenish with intention the things that we might need. So I know that I've looked to lots of different coaches to help me in business and with my finances and spirituality. So just kind of bringing that in. So yeah, it's really, really beautiful.
Oh, that sounds absolutely fantastic. And well done for being able to move everything online. It sounds like it's been really popular.
It really has been really exciting, very nerve-wracking for everyone, I think. But yeah, where there's a will, there's a way. And again, it's that having that fire and just being, well, this is what I need to do. This is what my purpose is. So yeah, pivot, and how can we do that? So yeah, it's lovely and it's brilliant to be able to reach people globally now, not actually going to their houses. So yeah.
Yeah, of course. That is one of the benefits, isn't it? It's, you can work with anyone, anywhere. So how do people find you, Tania? Do you want to tell us your links, website?
Yeah.
In the comments box as well for people to have a look. But do you have a Facebook group, Facebook page?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've tried to keep all the handles the same. So on Facebook, it's The Girl Who Simplified. On Instagram, it's at The Girl Who Simplified. My website is www.thegirlwhosimplified.com. And I also have a free group on Facebook called the Curious Souls Clearing Club, which is where people can come and just kind of get snippets and ask questions and just get a feel really of me and the stuff that I do. And also, again, just realize that you're not alone and you're not failing miserably, and everyone struggles with this stuff. So it's a really nice, positive, uplifting place to be. So everyone's welcome to request to join.
Oh, that's fantastic. Wow. Well, thank you so much for sharing your journey. You are an absolute inspiration. I'm going to be checking out your groups. Maybe I'll talk to you about my magazine problem later.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being a wonderful guest. And I will make sure I share your links in the comments. So thank you, Tanya.
Amazing.
Very soon.
Thank you, Helen. It's been such a pleasure.
Thank you.